Good morning, Delaware. It's a great morning here in the city. It's actually been a couple of days without rain. We actually could mow some lawns and stop making it look like the set for a Tarzan movie here in the city.
Still feels kind of swampy.
It does, yeah. Muggy is still there. That's the voice of Nicole Falls.
Good morning.
How you doing?
I'm Peachy Keen. I'm happy for a beautiful Friday morning.
Peachy Keen. My daughter always says that. You call her up and say, how you doing? She says, oh, just Peachy.
Peachy Keen. Peachy so, Keen, Jelly Bean.
And that's Gage behind the desk there, working feverishly to try to move this radio station.
Oh, it's been a mess. But good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Gage. And our guest today is Robbie Apt, who is the manager of the Community and Family Services Outreach and what's the name of your bloody
what?
Department?
The Community and Family Outreach Services Department.
That's changing. I want a name I can remember. Basically, it's the bookmobile and everything we do outside of the building. And that's what we're going to talk about in the second half of the show today, because now that it's back to school, our outreach department provides lots of services to schools in our service district. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that in the second half of the show. Good morning, Robbie.
Good morning.
Welcome back. Always glad to have you on the show.
Thank
here.
You.
So, Nicole, you have a book in front of you there that looks interesting.
Yes.
What are you reading?
I think I teased it a little bit last week when I said...
You teased a lot of things last week, including my mother.
Oh, I'm sorry.
What? Yeah, she was talking last week because I was back in Buffalo for a family wedding, and she said, when the matriarch says come to Buffalo, you come to Buffalo.
You go to Buffalo. There's no choices there.
So, anyway, sorry about that.
I have a book that I was part of one of my book clubs. So I'm part of a personal book club, and I love them because sometimes they really have me reading outside of my reading tastes. This one happened to be inside my reading tastes, but little did I know just how weird it was going to get. I like a little weird if you know some of my book recommendations, but this one, whew, it takes the cake. It's called The Library at Mount Char, and it is by Scott Hawkins. From what I can tell, this is really one of Scott's, this is his first novel. So he might have been have his name attached to other things, but this is his first novel. I listened to it both on audiobook and I read it as a physical book. It's like, you know, a little over 380 some pages, but it's a 17-hour audiobook because the reader is very slow. So it's a good one to listen to at like 1.5 or 1.25 time. So your basic concept here is that imagine if, let's say, Neil Gaiman and I'm trying to think of another one, like had a baby, it would become this story.
Mindy McGinnis, maybe?
Maybe a little bit. So what happens is there is a person who we know as Adam Black, but he's also been known as Ablaka, and he's also been known as many other names. Uh-huh. And he knows a lot of things, and he's much older than he seems to be. But he's living in a neighborhood in Virginia.
Okay.
And he is getting ready to kind of enact the final stage of his plan. He has all of the knowledge of the world, of the universe and universes, and he needs some children, let's say, to pass that knowledge on to. So what he's done is he's created what you would call a library, and he has written down his knowledge in this all these books of this library, and he's got them in about 12 different catalogs, and it's everything from the knowledge of all things past and the knowledge of all things future, the knowledge of, you know, all things future in all universes. It's also things like all the knowledge of healing and all the knowledge of language, all the knowledge of the animal kingdoms. And so he's got these 12 different catalogs, and he has this plan that he's enacted. And it all begins with adoption day. And so he takes over this chunk of his neighborhood and he brings these 12 children together under his roof. And then he begins teaching them each their own catalog. So our story focuses on Carolyn, and she has the catalog of language. We also meet David, who has the catalog of war. And he is a very distasteful, he just puts a really bad taste in your mouth. Individual. We have Margaret, who has the catalog of the underworld and the afterlife. And our father figure, who we really only know as father for a while, he's not quite benevolent. His teaching methods don't seem very fair or kind. And so basically, Carolyn is enacting a plan, and we're not quite sure what her plan is. But what we know is that when we enter the book, Father is missing. And Carolyn and David and Margaret and the other children are leading a charge to try and find Father. Mm. And things in the book just begin to get weirder and weirder and darker and darker as you go on into it. It was highly entertaining. It is very dark. There's a lot of violence in it. So I will give you that kind of trigger warning if you are interested in it. But it is. It's a lot. I was explaining it to my husband, and he equated it to Neil Gaiman's American Gods, because this Adam Black is kind of a godlike figure with all that he knows.
Father? Is Adam Black
he
father?
Is father, okay. Yes. Mm-hmm. And so he is kind of a godlike figure. You wonder if he's a fallen, you know, god. If he, well, where does he fall in the universe of what we know? But there's really just so much that we don't know. So I'll leave it at that. It's The Library at Mount Char. It's by Scott Hawkins. And if you like a little odd, you might enjoy it.
Sounds good. And what are you reading, Robbie?
So I have a book called The Sanatorium by Sarah Pierce.
Okay.
And normally I wouldn't pick up anything like this. I normally read nonfiction based on history, sometimes fiction based on history. But recently I made a trip to Camp Chase and on the hilltop in Columbus. Mm-hmm. And after doing some research, they had a big sanitarium on top of the hill at one point. In the 1930s, it had about 3,000 people that were living there. And it was made for 890 or 900 people. So I saw this book. The picture on it made me grab it instantly because it reminds me of the picture I saw of that sanitarium. So it is a mystery thriller. Well, like I said, it's not something I would normally read, but it gets me ready for the holiday, for Halloween, and for the upcoming fall season. So it's good. It starts with a character who's a detective called Ellen, and she makes a trip to the Alps to an old sanitarium that they turned into a hotel.
She goes like Mali country.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It does. So she goes up to spend the weekend with her brother who's getting married and her future and sister-in-law. And of course, there's a huge storm. It gets creepy and scary and goes into rooms and places in the dark and you can't see. Her sister-in-law disappears in the morning. They wake up and she's not there. And so she goes searching for her and trying to figure out where she went. In the meantime, another lady disappears, and she's the lady that can help solve the whole thing. Nobody else knows she's missing except for the detective, Ellen, and it goes from person to person, talking to them, trying to figure out what's happening. It's pretty interesting. It keeps you in the story as it goes. It doesn't get boring. It's action-packed, and it's a pretty fun read. Like I said, it gets you in the mood for the Halloween season and the fall.
Great. It's called The Sanatorium by
Sarah Pierce.
Pierce with an S. Okay.
S-E.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say first, I read, actually on the trip to Buffalo, Joyce and I listened to The Silent Witness that you talked about a couple of weeks ago.
Patient. The Silent Patient.
No.
Was it?
The Silent Witness. Oh, about
okay.
the painter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That, wasn't that The Silent Witness?
I feel like she's a patient.
Well, anyway, we can check
but
it out.
But I like it. Yeah.
It was fantastic. It's available on Hoopla. It's available on Libby. As an audiobook, and it is terrific, mm-hmm. just like you said.
Ooh, hooray!
the book I want to talk about today is one you can't actually get at the library. I checked. It's not available at any of our libraries. But get a hold of me, and I'll let you know how I got a copy of it. It's called Raised Eyebrows, My Years Inside Groucho's House.
Oh.
By Steve Stolyar. It was published originally in 1995. It was reprinted in 2011, and I just found out about it a couple of weeks ago from the author because we were in a Facebook group together about Groucho. So I got it actually directly from him. So Steve's story is that they are basically exactly the same age.
Okay.
So he started out in high school discovering the Marx Brothers when he discovered other old kinds of movies and he was living in St. Louis with his family, got really interested in old movies, did a lot of research, collected all sorts of stuff. This was pre-DVD, all that sort of thing. So he was basically going to revival houses, staying up all night, watching things on the all-night movies and things like that. His family moved from St. Louis to Los Angeles, just lucky for him. And so he ends up going to UCLA. And while he's there, he got involved and sort of led the charge to get Universal Pictures to re-release Animal Crackers.
Oh, okay.
They had the rights to it, But they didn't think there was any interest out there. So he started this petition drive, and he got started at all over the campuses all over the country. And eventually it came to the attention of Groucho Marx and his secretary, personal assistant, his manager, a woman by the name of Erin Fleming. And so they came to UCLA when he was gathering signatures and signed autographs and was there to just basically meet people. After that happened, Erin hired him to be Groucho's archivist, basically. They had months, years of unanswered fan mail. They hadn't been doing the clipping files and keeping the scrapbooks up to date, so they hired him to do this. So this Erin Fleming is a very controversial figure for people who follow the Marx Brothers, because she came into Groucho's life after his third and final marriage broke up. He was sort of out of the public eye. He sort of was retired. He just kind of lost interest in things. And she kind of dragged him back into the spotlight. And she was kind of a B-movie actress. She was a celebrity wannabe. People thought of her as kind of a hanger-on. But she really did give him a reason to get back into show business, basically. She was the one who got him to go start doing college campus visits and doing a 2-hour routine about his life in show business, tell jokes, show little clips from the movies, sing a few songs. That resulted in An Evening with Groucho, which is a 2-album set of his concert at Carnegie Hall. And it's one of my treasures. I still have the original LP. I've got it on my iPad. I got it everywhere.
Nice.
But at the same time, she was also exploiting him. She was sued by Bank of America for defrauding his estate. She helped estrange him from his son and his 2 daughters, which wasn't that difficult because they were already sort of estranged, mm-hmm. but she just made it worse. She kept driving that wedge between them. She yelled at him. She was a really mercurial personality. So anyway, Steve got hired by her to take care of his fan mail and, like I said, the scrapbooks and things like that. But because Groucho kind of took a liking to him, he became sort of an insider. And a lot of this book reads like what you would think of as old Hollywood, all of these kind of parties where celebrities show up and, you know, Jack Lemmon sits down at the piano and plays songs, or, you know, Steve Allen tells a few jokes, or Olivia de Havilland shows up. It's all these kinds of, and he drops all these names like crazy.
Hmm.
There's some people he really likes. Jack Lemmon is one of them. He got Carol O'Connor, who became a friend. And so all of these people kind of came in and out of Groucho's life. And so even Steve has really mixed emotions about Erin Fleming. Because he sees her from the inside and sees her personality flaws and all that sort of thing. But on the other hand, he sees how much Groucho has really come to depend on her and how much it's not a romantic relationship per se, but it's a very codependent relationship. So it's a fascinating story, and he tells it really well. He is a writer. After Groucho passed away, he became a writer for Dick Cavett. He did writing for Murder, She Wrote and some other TV shows that you would recognize. He also is a voiceover actor, and he's done some Nick at Night type things and things like that. So again, it's a good book. It's called Raised Eyebrows, My Years Inside Groucho's House by Steve Stolier. Dick Cavett wrote the introduction for the book. And if you're interested in it, just contact me at the library. I'll let you know how to get a hold of it.
Nice.
So we will be back in just a couple of moments to talk about what's happening with outreach services and schools. And so please stay tuned. And welcome back to Off the Shelf. We are here with Robbie Apt. Robbie, you and the outreach services folks do an amazing job serving schools. So I don't think a lot of people outside of the schools understand what it is we do. So why don't you give a little overview of what kind of services the library provides to the school districts in our district?
Okay, so for the school districts, we're talking Delaware City, Buckeye Valley. We're talking Delaware Christian, all the city schools, and all Olentangy schools. We're working with the librarians at those schools to bring the teachers their books. So if they have a school request for a classroom, they would contact us and request the books that they wanted. It can be a theme or a title. It doesn't matter. It can be 2 books. It can be 200 books, which sounds like a lot. But if you're doing the entire 5th grade class, that's what it is.
It happens.
Yes, mm-hmm. It happens.
So sometimes there are school districts that don't buy all 200 copies of a book. They just use their resources with the library.
So they are just supplementing their collections. Mm-hmm. If the library has 2 books and they need 10 copies, they're contacting us.
Gotcha.
We do deliver to the schools every week. And we work with the librarians if they need someone to come in and talk to them about the library and what we do, what resources we have for the kids. We talk to the students sometimes. We're in there for summer reading. We do work with the schools on a daily basis. There are so many schools in Delaware County.
There sure are. So since I've got both of you here, how do we let the teachers, the administrators, and the school librarians know what it is we offer?
Well, one of the things that we had the pleasure of doing this past week is every school district does a kind of teacher, what's the word that starts with a C, your opening ceremony.
Oh, yeah, I know that day. Convocation.
A convocation. That's the day. It starts with a C. It's the opening of something. Yes.
I'm the old one. I'm supposed to forget words, not you.
So most schools do a teacher convocation or just kind of a big day before they start their first day with students. And we are typically invited to that at Delaware City, Olentangy, and Buckeye Valley. And so we spread that out among our staff members who are librarians for that area. Outreach was invited as well. We were trying to get the bookmobile to Delaware's this week. But that was a really foggy morning, so that would not have been very safe for our bookmobile. But we were still there, and the teachers walk around, and you know, we try to tell them about the resources that we've got going on. We ask them if they're signed up for a library card, and you know, if they know about those services that we provide. But aside from that, let's say you didn't see us on convocation, then there's lots of other ways to get in touch as well.
My specialist in my department also emails all the librarians at the beginning of every year to remind them about the service. So all of the librarians should know that we do provide that service. Some of the teachers might not know that we provide that service. So this will go out to those teachers to ask your librarian about that service. So we're working with the schools, elementary, middle school, high schools, but we also work with the preschools. We do drop collections to the preschools. And we're also working with those kids that are at home in an in-home babysitter setting with an in-home babysitter. So we're dropping materials to in-home babysitters also. So if you're a babysitter, we start at that level.
It's amazing how many different things the Outreach Services Department does. I mean, when you talk about those kinds of drops, but you also are dropping things to people who are homebound. You're setting people up to get materials from the State Library for the Blind and Physically Handicapped. Basically the things that don't happen inside the library walls are run by Outreach Services.
Right.
I mean, that's the simplest way to put it. So.
Yeah. We've got some really great relationships with the librarians at the...
Yeah, we're not here to replace any school librarians. That is absolutely not what we do. What we're there to do is work with them so that they can do the curriculum support they need to do.
I came to the realization years ago that the library, in essence, in a lot of what we do, we're gap fillers in people's lives. You know, you're interested in a hobby, you might start to research it, and then you need to fill that gap with more information. That's what we do. With schools, there's education that's happening, but there's only so much that can happen within the classroom, and a student might be interested in something beyond that. So we can fill that gap as well. Robbie, you're also helping to manage our student learning website. We've got DelawareLibrary.org/student, and that's where you can go to find out about all of the student resources that we have. We put this together last year. It was a big undertaking between outreach and communications and the youth services department. We have a whole list of links where you can find some of those supplemental places to go to get extra help, especially last year when at-home learning was such a big thing. But Robbie has been managing that and telling us about the links that are, you know, dead now or or new ones that we should add.
That's amazing how quickly that changes.
Yeah. Yes. So what are some of the ones that you found or that you really think are good to highlight?
First of all, I am really proud of the links when we stepped up during COVID to provide that to students and parents and teachers.
Yeah.
As resources, those links cover everything from language to reading to spelling, geography, math, fine arts. There are some exercise videos on there. So if you're supplementing gym time, it's great. We also providing at the library flashcards, MiFi boxes, Wi-Fi boxes, and Chromebooks to students. So we cover a wide gambit of your needs. If you need something, we're there to help you. You can find all those links on the student learning website on our website. There's a lot of them there. If you have a child that needs some help with math, there are some videos there. But if you have a child that is above level, you'll find some extra materials there that might supplement what they're learning in school and help them advance a little bit more.
Right. And we would be remiss if we did not mention the one that is really great to pay attention to at the top of that page is called BrainFuse Help Now. Yes. And that's a service that we introduced last year. BrainFuse Help Now is a free tutoring service for all ages, so all school ages. And there are some even adult components on there as well if you are looking for some resume building techniques. And one of the other really cool things on there is a writing center. If you give yourself some extra time before your paper is due, you can turn your paper into the writing center, but it's not going to work if you turn it in at 11 o'clock when it's due the next day. But if you give yourself some extra time, you can turn it into the writing center. And they have trained, credentialed tutors who will give you back feedback about how you might do that just a little bit better.
Won't write your paper for you, but will at least help you get the grammar right. And
exactly.
Like
they give you recommendations. And that is a free service with your library card, and it is a live service. There are live hours, I think 2 p.m. to maybe 9 p.m. It's listed on the site when you can connect with a real live human.
And those links, I will mention, are from like K to high school. So
yeah.
They're for every grade.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Or homeschool.
Or homeschoolers, right. So anyway, thank you very much, Robbie, for everything you do. I just checked, and it is called The Silent Patient, the book we were talking about. Thank you.
I mean, I'm not going to correct you. You are my boss. Yeah, so.
I correct myself more often than anybody else corrects me, because I make enough mistakes for two or three people. The author is Alex Michaelides, and it is available through Libby. So if you're interested in the audiobook, that's where I got it. Also want to mention something. We had Free Comic Book Day last Saturday.
Uh-huh.
We still have a lot of comic books left.
Stop on in.
And they're still available for free. I picked up just a few. I got the Batman from DC Universe Rebirth. I've got The Lizard of Rusty Creek Cave, which looks a little more adult kind of graphic novel, the Hillbilly series. And one of my favorites from when I was a kid, Asterix, which is The Crazy Gaul. It's set in the time of the Roman Empire in what is now France, Gaul. And Asterix is kind of a local freedom fighter who hates the Romans. And so it's kind of a fun comic book, and these are all free, and there are a great variety of things, from superheroes to specific stories to kind of graphic
Stranger Things.
Oh, there was a My Little Pony too, and The Loud House from Nickelodeon. I picked those ones up.
So for just about any grade of people who for comics, are you can't beat it. So I also want to mention that the Outreach Services, of course, also does bookmobile stops, and those are all listed on our events page. You can also find them on the outreach page of the library's website, DelawareLibrary.org. And so we've got a number of stops coming up this week in Delaware, Lewis Center. We've got address is Galena, but it's still within our service district. So check it out, and please feel free to stop by and see the bookmobile. We're doing rolling stuff off the truck so people can, you don't have to be in close contact. It's open air. We also have the Harless Book Club is this week. It's a registered event. It'll be done on Zoom. They're reading A Month in the Country by J.L. Carr this week. So that's basically the only event we've got this week. This is generally a slow week for us as school starts up. And we're just kind of gearing up. And we will have some more to talk about next week about programming that's coming up at the library.
Mm-hmm.
We are getting back to story times eventually. We're going to be doing them a little differently, but they will be in person. And we'll talk a little bit more about that probably in next week's show. So, of course, the situations keep changing, so heaven only knows
day
what
to day
will happen. Yes. So, anyway, I want to thank you very much, Robbie, for being with us today and for all the services that you provide to the library's community, to the schools in our area. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
And thanks to the Friends of the Library, because not only for sponsoring this show, but one of the other things Outreach Services does is restocks our little free libraries around the community.
Mm-hmm.
And the Friends of the Library help donate books to help stock that. So thank you for all that you do, friends. They've got a big retreat coming up tomorrow all day to do some planning for their future. So wish everybody luck on that, and, including me. So anyway, Nicole, thank you very much. Have
always
a good weekend.
Pleasure. Yes, I'm donating blood today with Cohatch. If you know that there's a big need for it right now.
Yes.
So it's really easy to download the American Red Cross blood donation app and go donate. So donating blood today. Wish me luck.
Have you done this before?
Oh, yeah. All the time in college.
Great.
It's paid for my college. No, it didn't.
And thank you, Gage, for all your work behind the board.
My pleasure.
And we will see you in the stacks.